This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Deuter. They've been making technical hiking, backpacking, snow sport, bike, and travel packs German-engineered since 1898 for comfort, fit, and ventilation. Stay tuned for later in the episode when we talk with Addie, a podcast listener in the Netherlands who is planning for a backpacking trip in Patagonia. Stay equipped for a life of adventure with a durable, comfortably crafted Deuter pack. Find your perfect fit at Deuter.com. That's Deuter.com. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores. Before we get started, I want to share a quick call I had today.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
At this very moment, I'm standing in a closet, and I'm talking with Laura Hughes, who's on the other side of the country in Washington State, host of the Women on the Road podcast. And if you haven't listened to the Women on the Road podcast, it's also the sister show of this podcast. It's about traveling on the road, but it's similar to the show in that it's also just about life experiences that we have. And I help produce the show, so it's near and dear to my heart, too. Laura and I are chatting because we're both really excited to be sharing an opportunity for all of us, listeners of Women on the Road, listeners of She Explores, to convene in person while camping in the desert of New Mexico. Laura, could you tell us a little bit about the event?
Yeah. Well, firstly, I share your excitement greatly about this event because I get excited about a lot of things, but this event is going to be amazing because we'll all get to meet in person, which sounds obvious when you talk about a gathering, but the She Explores and Women on the Road communities are full of people who love the outdoors and love to travel. And a lot of our connection and relationship building exists online because everyone is spread all across the country and all over the world. So there's something really special about being able to meet in person and really build on those relationships and meet new people and learn from each other. There are going to be workshops on road travel in addition to outdoor activities, live music, hopefully. And we're really looking to have the community take part in what that looks like and how that takes shape. So people coming together, bringing their skills, passions, and interests to create something for a weekend that's unique to us.
And just to clarify, like, I don't live on the road, but can I still come? Like, can I go and pitch a tent and camp there?
Yes, absolutely you can, which is something else that I love about this event. So we're going to be holding the event in Taos, New Mexico at a venue called Hotel Luna Mystica. And what's really special about that spot is that there is a variety of ways that you can camp out there. So if you have a camper, that's great. You can bring it. Or if there's a car that you like to sleep in or a truck or whatever, you can do that. But if you come with a tent, you can sleep in your tent and there'll be spots for tent camping. And then what is also pretty cool is that Hotel Luna Mystica has some really beautifully renovated camper trailers that you can stay in as well if you'd like to treat yourself a little bit and pay to stay in one of those. So there are tons of options.
And we'll be recording a podcast there too, right?
Yes, we will. We're going to do a live Q&A with women who have done more extensive road traveling or who have some more experience to share in some capacity. So come with questions and it's going to be super fun. So I'm excited to see how that podcast episode takes shape.
Yeah, I feel like there's also just going to be so many stories from people, conversations that they have around the campfire and on short hikes together too. The other thing that I'm pleased about is that we're going to use a portion of the proceeds to give back to a local nonprofit in the area. Can you tell me about that nonprofit?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad that you highlighted that it's a local nonprofit because it was really important to us in designing this event to give back to the community in Taos in as many ways as possible. And so one of the ways is to support a local nonprofit. And a portion of the proceeds from this event are going back to the Heart of Taos, which is a nonprofit that provides pet-friendly transitional housing, emergency assistance, and support services to women and children who are facing homelessness or who are homeless. And so that's something that's really near and dear to a lot of our hearts, and I think will be a great way to give back to the local community of Taos.
Yeah, me too. Oh, gosh. Well, I hope to see some listeners there, and I can't wait to join you in Taos, Laura.
Absolutely. Likewise. And I can't wait to see everyone there. So yeah, make sure that you register and let us know if you have any questions, but we're stoked to meet you.
We're partnering with Van Life Diaries to put on this event. You can learn more and get your tickets via the link in our episode landing page, as well as the show notes. Okay, on with today's episode.
All right, I just showed up to Anastasia's house. It's 9 o'clock on Thursday evening, July 26th, and we're about to go for an adventure.
This is Rose Freeman, and that adventure, it's hiking with her friend Anastasia Allison up the Sahali Arm in the North Cascades to catch the sunrise. For someone like me, that would be the adventure, driving to a trailhead and going to bed at 11:30, only to wake up in 3 hours. But for Rose and Anastasia, this adventure involves musical instruments. They'll greet the new day with a song played on a keyboard and violin. It's a sweet and beautiful sight, no doubt, but the why behind their music goes way beyond novelty. Rose and Anastasia met 1 year ago, but they'd independently dreamed of playing their instruments outdoors. Here's Rose.
I've always loved being outside. I used to sketch grand pianos and upright pianos in the wilderness, in my sketchbooks growing up, and I always practiced inside. I had an upright piano that I grew up on, and later on a baby grand piano, but there was always something about it, like I would leave the screen door open and practice with the birds in the backyard or just the cool air of the morning, and that always seemed to bring more life to my music growing up.
Anastasia's vision came later, at a time in her life when she was searching for more.
The only thing that I could really give a name to for somebody who works outside is a park ranger. And so I was a park ranger for about 7 years. I got laid off from that job. When I got laid off, I sort of panicked and thought, well, I'm in law enforcement, so that's obviously the only thing I can do. And so I applied for a police job with the railroad and really did enjoy that for several years. But then I felt that sort of yearning again for something more that I've sort of always felt in my life. And I really had no idea how to find it or get there. And I looked at other people who were sort of doing these incredible things that I would have seen myself doing. And I just thought that they had gotten really lucky and that I was just sort of stuck where I was.
And then the unexpected happened.
I had the extremely, and this is going to sound weird, but I had the extremely fortunate experience of being in an almost fatal car accident. And I don't know what exactly happened after that accident in my brain, but something fundamentally shifted for me.
Anastasia opened herself up to a surprising vision.
I was laying in bed one night after a night shift. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning. And I literally cannot say this without sounding completely nuts, but I was laying in bed and all of a sudden this flash came into my head. And I don't know if it was a voice or what it was, but it just instantly said, go play your violin on the summit of a mountain. I didn't know what to think of that at the time. And so I did what any normal person would have done. And I immediately logged into Craigslist and placed an ad for myself as an adventure elopement violinist.
No one answered the ad, but Anastasia started putting herself out there and taking more chances. She connected with Rose when she did a small giveaway on her Instagram feed, so small that Rose was the only person who entered. It didn't take long for them to meet up in person.
So we were sort of, I knew who she was, she knew who I was at this point, and she knew that I was a relatively experienced climber. And unbeknownst to me, Rose was in the middle of the Mountaineers course with the Everett Mountaineers, and she reached out to me because she was about to climb Mount Baker, which is a decent-sized volcano here in Washington State.
When Anastasia and I met last June, it was pretty remarkable how it came up between us that we both had had this dream for a long time of carrying our instruments into the wilderness. I had been looking up on Craigslist free upright pianos that I could possibly maneuver out into a field to play, but I never wanted to do it on my own because, I don't know, it just seemed like something that would be so much more special to be shared with somebody.
We met, we started playing together, and instantaneously we had a really beautiful musical chemistry.
I've accompanied a lot of musicians over the last 15 years. And when we first played together a year ago, there was a really special spark between our music connection where she handed me a Chopin farewell out on a street corner last August. And right from the very beginning, we just really listened to each other well in our playing and connected over that piece of music, even though we'd only known each other like one day.
And then we just started making plans. I think I said, let's bring gowns. And we brought gowns with us. And that was it. September 1st of last year was our very first concert together.
A concert for Anastasia and Rose typically takes place on a mountain in Washington State, just as the sun is rising or setting. They videotape the performances, and any description that I provide of these tapes is going to be an understatement. The setting is breathtaking. The mountains are their concert hall. There is no audience, save the flora and fauna, and that's intentional.
If people are on the trail, then it becomes a little bit more of a show, it feels like. And to us, it's really not necessarily the Rose and Anastasia show. It really isn't. We intentionally go out when nobody's out there because it's a very special, almost spiritual moment for the two of us. And another reason that we don't go out when there's more people around is because of the Leave No Trace ethics, that we want to respect people's time in the wilderness and not be disruptive to anybody.
We're really huge believers in Leave No Trace. And if we announced a backcountry concert at this point, there would likely be a large audience, which would really conflict with wilderness area regulations, which usually stipulates that you can't have a group larger than 12 in a wilderness area. And so we don't want to go into the wilderness and cause more of an impact or damage a meadow or have a bunch of people sitting around off trail and hurting the environment in a negative way. The other thing is that we're also very cognizant that some people might not want to hear music in a wilderness setting. And that's why we wake up at 1 or 2 in the morning and start hiking at 3 in the morning, is that when we get up there at sunrise, it's usually just the two of us.
Which brings us back to July 26th. Actually, now the morning of Friday, July 27th. Rose and Anastasia are about to hike up the Sahali Arm.
I think we woke up at 2:30 a.m. and we were at the North Cascades Sahali Arm Cascade Pass Trailhead. And I just remember waking up and feeling really, really tired because I think we went to bed about 3 hours before that.
Rose reports that she slept extremely well and that the back of her car was extremely comfortable. I, on the other hand, am about 2 inches taller than Rose, and I could not stretch out in the back of the car, and so I did not get much sleep. And so when the alarm went off, there was this sort of like, oh, okay, well, I guess I haven't been sleeping anyway, so we might as well start hiking.
I wish I were shorter.
I mean, you really have to want to do it, because there's definitely a part of you that is saying, just curl up in a ball and sleep.
What would the musical mountaineers do?
Go back to bed.
No, they would not. They would wake up.
Look, there's El Dorado.
Ah, it's so cool.
And stars.
We sort of talk about the musical mountaineers in third person a lot, because both of us sort of feel like the musical mountaineers are representative of the best version of ourselves. And so we're always asking ourselves, like, okay, what would the musical mountaineers be doing in this situation? And, you know, because Anastasia, who is this incredibly imperfect, exhausted human who gets up on the top of a mountain, she doesn't want to put a gown on and play her violin, if I'm being quite honest. But I just ask myself, okay, what would the musical mountaineers do? And the musical mountaineers would put the gown on and they would play the concert, because they realize that there's this higher purpose to what they're doing. And so that's sort of become, it's funny talking about myself in third person, but but it's like this reminder of that better version of all of us is inside if we sort of dig deeper.
We join Rose and Anastasia on their hike and learn about the why behind their music after this. This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Deuter. They've been making technical hiking, backpacking, snow sport, bike, and travel packs German-engineered since 1898 for comfort, fit, and ventilation. I talked with Addie Paulette about her experiences with Deuter in the outdoors.
I used my mom's old backpack for years that she bought just before I was born, so it was older than I was, and then I was looking for a new one, and I remembered Deuter from listening to the podcast.
What type of pack did you end up choosing?
So I got the 35-liter Airlite that can be extended with 10 liters more.
Addie is taking a trip to Patagonia this December that's full of longer treks that she's excited about, but a bit apprehensive.
It takes a bit of training, especially here in the Netherlands, where we don't really have any hills or anything. So it's been fun trying to figure that out.
With no hills, Addie takes advantage of the 8 flights of stairs to her office, walking on the dunes of the beach and training for a half marathon. This September, she'll start strapping her Deuter pack on too.
Training with a backpack is usually a small trek, just getting the miles up, and I'm planning on going into a gym as soon as September comes and I've done the half marathon, just to get on a Stairmaster and get used to miles going up at least with the backpack on.
Stay equipped for a life of adventure with a durable, comfortably crafted Deuter pack. Find your perfect fit at deuter.com. That's deuter.com. This episode is also sponsored by Victorious. Victorious brings the fitness studio to you with live group fitness classes that you can participate in from anywhere, at any time. It's also why I'm sore today, but in a good way. Victorious offers real-time fitness classes that you can stream live using your computer, phone, tablet, or television. It feels like you're at the gym, but you're at home. You can take unlimited classes each month for the price of a single typical fitness class. If you're like me, committing to a class can be a great motivator, but having to travel and show up at the fitness studio can be more challenging than the workout. Victorious makes it easy to stay committed because you can participate from anywhere. I've been a Victorious member for the last few weeks, and what I love about it is the accessibility and the privacy. And I'm excited to share a special offer exclusive for Shakesplore's listeners. Get 1 month free of unlimited Victorious fitness classes when you sign up at victorious.com/explores. That's victorious.com/explores to try Victorious free for 1 month. It's going to change the way you work out, and we thank Victorious for sponsoring this podcast.
I've always wanted to play up in the North Cascades because that's such a special place to me. My mom and I, we did that hike a while ago together, and I'd always wanted to go back out there to play.
We're back. Here's Rose describing the hike up in the dark.
The hike up was really special because you could hear the waterfalls cascading off of the peaks surrounding us. You could hear grouse off in the distance.
I hear a grouse.
I heard it too.
Oh, look, I see it. Look, he's right there.
On the trail?
Just up a little ways. Look, right there. See him?
Yep. Hi, buddy.
That's so cool. Oh my gosh, I've never seen, like, underneath the feathers. You could see, like, that's incredible. Wow.
You could kind of smell some wildfire smoke because it's summer and there is a fire off in the distance.
My legs.
Yeah, I'm a little tired. My pack feels really heavy. I couldn't have predicted that for myself either.
How much does the keyboard weigh to carry it?
So when we first started doing this, I think it weighed about 45 pounds, the whole pack together. And the balance of carrying the piano, I imagine, is something like carrying backcountry skis up, because I'm about 6.5 feet tall with the piano sticking up out of the pack. For this hike, I was carrying a 66 key piano instead of a 76 key piano. And my pack weighed about 30 pounds because Anastasia helped carry some of the microphone recording equipment and some of the piano stand as well. She helped carry.
No, I think higher up is better. Man, look at the sky. It's like,
this is gonna be so pretty.
Pink.
It was about a 5.5 mile hike with a few thousand feet of elevation gain to get up onto the ridge. And you're just really high up in the alpine and you're looking at some of the most, sort of the most iconic peaks in the North Cascades. So it's a really incredible spot. I was extremely tired. but we made it up onto the ridge, and just at sunrise, we made it up there. So it was a pretty special moment.
Woohoo!
The very first time that we ever did this, it was to fulfill our dream of bringing our music into the mountains. And we had no idea how many people would be touched by what we're doing. I remember we shared a little video and it sort of went viral. And it was just really incredible because so many people experienced healing or a moment of peace or a reminder of all the good in the world just by watching us play a simple hymn. And so our mission really became to remind people of all that good and beauty that is available to all of us in the world. And then also to really encourage people to pursue the dreams that they have in their heart. And really have people ask themselves the question, what is the best version of myself? And what is my violin on a mountain? Because when I look at the musical Mountaineers and I see videos of myself performing in the mountains wearing a gown, I really think, okay, this is the best version of me. But I think that there's something like that in each of us. And maybe it's not a violin on a mountain because maybe you don't play violin, but I really feel that each of us has that spark inside or that idea or that inspiration, that one thing that they've always wanted to pursue. And what would it look like if each of us asked ourselves what that was, and then if each of us worked to bring that into the world? I just think that would be such an incredible place to live in, where we were all pursuing those dreams instead of doing what I did for 20 years of my life, which was telling myself that was reckless or foolish to pursue.
What are you thinking right here on these rocks?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, this looks great. You can see everything.
And so then you get up to the ridge and you unpack your instruments and set them up. And like, what's that process like?
So we get up onto the ridge and I think I was so exhausted that it's just this crazy juxtaposition between you've just done this really physical act of hauling an instrument into the mountains, yeah, and now you have to sort of switch into this more delicate artistic mode of putting on a gown and yeah, playing a hymn on your violin.
We go into most all of our musical mountaineering days with some planned music. But a lot of the times, the most powerful music is simple hymns or tunes, traditional tunes that people know, because they connect with those tunes. But in between all the hymns, we really love to improvise, because that is unique and that is our voice that we're speaking. And what I mean by improvise between the hymns is we play a line of, say, "How great thou art," and then we'll go through and improvise for 2 or 3 minutes, and then we'll go back and play "How great thou art" one more time. And my favorite part of the way we play is that 2 minutes of improvising in that key, because that's just our music. That's something that we're creating and being influenced by the world around us. But I find that people really love to hear the hymns and the pieces that they know and can connect to.
Yeah. And is it difficult to articulate, like, how you guys stay on track together, that how you don't go in two separate directions when you're improvising?
I really love how we work together with improvising. I base a lot of my music off of music theory. So I'll be set in a 4 or 5 chord progression, and I'll be set in a specific time signature, like 4 beats in every measure. And Anastasia is the most beautiful, expressive violinist who plays a lot by ear. So as long as she knows the key that I'm in, she just improvises based off of what she's feeling and what she hears in the key that we're in. And we really, over the year, have improvised a lot together. So we begin to cue each other quite well in understanding when we're going to build in the dynamics or when we're going to taper off a little bit.
So it's B.
And we stay together pretty well because I'm able to keep that rhythmic structure and harmony, and then she provides the melody.
I love how you guys balance each other out.
Yeah, I do too.
That sounds good, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Even just leading up to that moment, even on the entire hike, there's all these questions as to whether or not, are we going to make it at sunrise? Because that's always our goal, is to get up there. And so it's sort of this building of anxiety to make it up there for this moment. And then we finally get up there and, you know, the violin comes out and we're tuning, and it's so interesting because every time we start playing, even though there's been all this commotion and activity leading up to that moment, in that moment, it is just the most pure, beautiful sort of combination of music and stillness. And we're, I think Rose and I have said this before, but we feel like we're getting to see this secret of a new day, where we're up there at sunrise, there's nobody else around, it's just the two of us. And so it's this really, really beautiful moment. The sun is starting to hit the tops of the nearby peaks.
We've played for both sunrise and sunset, and it's my absolute favorite to play as the sun rises, because there's nothing like creating and having my hands dance on the piano keys as the sun rises in welcoming that new day. Man, yeah, there's nothing quite like that. Let me try and explain it. A lot of times, you know, we wake up and the sun rises and we just go about our day and get started and maybe don't slow down to recognize the significance that I am here and I'm alive and I have this choice of how I get to be in the world today. What do I get to bring into the world today? And I don't play my piano at sunrise every single day, but when I do, there's nothing quite like watching a new day arise as I'm playing my notes, because it's a very intentional, beautiful thing that I get to choose to do. And I just wonder, how would it be in the world if everybody brought their piano on a mountain at sunrise? What would it be like if everybody brought their unique gift, their love into the world? Each day. And playing my piano at sunrise is that kind of reminder that I am here and I'm alive. And I love playing piano for a new day because there's so much hope in that. Seeing the colors dance on the sky and seeing how that breathes life into our music is something that I've never experienced in any concert hall before. It's really special.
So the natural world around you is kind of feedback for the music?
Mm-hmm. as the wind blows and I feel that on my skin, or as the birds fly by, there's a rhythm to music and there's a rhythm to life and the energy in the air that it really does influence the way we play. I base a lot of my improv and a lot of my music off of music theory. So I have these patterns and these chords ingrained into my hands, but the way that the notes that I choose come to life through the wilderness and through the natural world around me is definitely something that's I've never experienced before just playing inside.
I'm playing my music and I'm looking around and it's almost hard to believe that I am where I am with my violin, because my entire life I was in practice rooms or in a concert hall or in some sort of a structure with the violin. So I think I've been doing this now for a year, and the experience of it is just as magical to me now as it was then. And it continues to be more different and more magical every time we do it, because each new place that we go just has such a different feel to it.
I've been improvising more and playing my piano more at home, because being able to play the piano is something that I teach my students to practice a lot. But until Musical Mountaineers, I don't know that I really loved to intentionally sit down and play for myself each day. But it's really been a wonderful thing to bring home to me, because, like I said, it's allowed me to be really present in life and to remember to look up and see the world around me and see the people around me as a gift in my life.
I look at what Rose and I do, and it's very, very simple. We aren't going out to the mountains and playing the Shostakovich violin concerto, although that's wonderful. We're playing really simple tunes, and we're doing this simple thing, but it's impacted so many lives, and I really feel that each of us has the power to make an impact like that in the world. And if the Musical Mountaineers can encourage people to pursue those things and to make the world a better place, then that's worth the 2:30 a.m. wake ups.
To step into the world knowing that I'm only here for a certain time, and the impact that I have is greater than I'll know. Just this simple act of playing piano on a mountaintop has brought a lot of life to a lot of people, including myself. It's brought a lot of healing to my music in not trying to necessarily have every note perfect, but just going out there and putting music into the world. I think that relates to life too, you know, not trying to have every moment of every day or every relationship necessarily set out try and be perfect, but just to embrace life and relationships as they are, to see them as they are, and to go forward in love, not necessarily trying to have it all right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to Rose and Anastasia for providing their lovely music for this episode. They're going to be playing at the Washington National Parks Fund benefit concert at Ben Arroyo Hall in Seattle on October 24th. And if you're familiar with that venue, it's different from the mountains, but it's still a very big deal. We've listed a link in our show notes so you can learn more. You can find Rose and Anastasia as the Musical Mountaineers on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We'll link all in the show notes and on the episode landing page. Thank you to our sponsors, Victorious and Deuter. Get a free month membership to Victorious by heading to victorious.com/explorers. And if you enjoy listening to She Explores, please take the time to review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. It'll help other people find us. Even better, share She Explores with a friend. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, so make sure to tag us so we'll see it. Also, I hope you'll be able to join us in Taos. You can find out more about the Women on the Road gathering that we mentioned at the beginning of this episode via the link in our show notes or the episode landing page. The majority of the music in this episode was performed by the Musical Mountaineers. It's when you hear the violin and the piano. Otherwise, that acoustic guitar music, that's by Jason Shaw via the Free Music Archive. We're off next week to enjoy the last week of August, but in the meantime, catch up with us in our She Explores podcast Facebook group or by listening to our archive. This was the 80th episode, so there are a lot to go through if you're a new listener. She Explores will be back in 2 weeks. I hope you get to enjoy some fresh air wherever you are.